Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. In verse 28, the Word of God says, "And now, O Lord God, Thou art that God, and Thy words be true, and Thou hast promised this goodness unto Your servant." I'm going to continue this evening for a few minutes in the series that we started on the names of God. And we're going to take a look at this name, O Lord. Now, O Lord. In the original language, that is the word Adonai. And so we're going to look at what Adonai means. Who is Adonai? The word Adonai, Lord, usually rendered Lord or my Lord, is Adonai. This is a special form of Adon, a word which signifies master. Adonai signifies master. And so, we are talking about God, the Lord, the master. We're not talking about I am. That was different. That was really referring to His finished work. We're not talking about El Shaddai. That's referring to His power, His strength. We are talking about here His authority. He is the master. Now, there are three things that are connected to His being the master. Thou art that God, and Thy words be true. So we have the Word of God connected to God the master, Adonai. Thou hast promised, so the promises of God are connected to Adonai, this goodness unto Thy servant. And goodness is really grace. And so we have three things connected to Adonai here. We have the Word of God, the promises of God, and the grace of God. All of those are connected to God the Lord, the all authority, the master with all authority. And that is Him right here. In Matthew 28:18, He said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth." This is what Jesus said. All power. That word power there is not dunamis. The word that we usually hear for power is dunamis in the original language, but that's not the word here. The word here is exousia. And this is a power that is tied into faith. This is a power that is effectual. And it's talking about authority, power, right, or liberty. Not just power, but authority, right, and liberty. And it denies the presence of hindrance. And so exousia is really what we depend on as believers. We don't depend on dunamis from God. We depend on exousia from God. When we pray, we don't pray to the God of dunamis, the God of strength type of power, ability type of power. We pray to the authority of God. And what we're doing when we're praying is we're tapping into that aspect of Adonai, the one who has all authority, but not only all authority, all ability, but not all ability, but also right and liberty. And this ties in a little bit to what we were talking about, spiritual light versus moral light, where moral light can actually be a form of darkness. Why? Because God has the liberty and the right to do as He chooses. One of the problems that we do as believers when we go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, whether it's the good side or the evil side, and thereby evaluate what is good and what is evil, is that we actually say, God, You have no right here and You have no liberty here. So when Isaiah walked around naked for three years, this is why so many of the commentators are saying that's indecent, it can't mean this. But every single translation says he walked around naked for 3 years. Whether they're the literal translations or the ones that translate simply the concepts. They all say he walked around for 3 years with no clothes on. Why? Because God has both the right and the liberty to effect in His sovereignty. to proclaim, and not only proclaim, but exhibit His sovereignty. Why? Because He is Master. He is the Master. When I put God in a box, through whatever form of conceptualization I choose, I try to take away from Him the right and liberty that's given to Him by the fact that He is Master. But this is His name. His name is Master. He is the Sovereign King. And we as believers, albeit it is imperative that we be well oriented to grace, that we have the finished work completely as our foundation, we must never lose sight of the fact that we are dealing with the Sovereign King who is our Master. And He will never yield that position to anybody's theological conceptualizations. He is our Master. In Revelation 19:16, He has on His clothing, on His vestiture, on His thigh, a name written. It is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are dealing with Adonai here. We are not dealing with just some powerful being. We are dealing with Adonai. Adonai is the one who puts all authority into His name. Adonai is the one who has the authority to speak something and have molecules respond to Him. It was Adonai who said, "Be still," to the sea, and it was calmed. Even though it was Adonai come in human form, it was still the power, the authority of Adonai. It was Adonai who did the casting out of demons. And this is why they had to obey Him. And this is why they pleaded with Him. Actually, interestingly enough, they pleaded with Him for a form of mercy when there was a legion in a man and they said, "Send us into the pigs." They were pleading to Adonai because they knew that He has all authority, that He has all right, and that He has all liberty. Adonai does not ask me what I think of His plan. Adonai doesn't consult with me at all. When Job tried to give his opinion to Adonai, Adonai responded to Job, "Who are you and where have you been when I stretched out the heavens and established the earth? Where were you?" Adonai is not interested in my opinions. Adonai is interested in one thing only: faith responses. I cannot be acceptable, as in pleasing in Hebrews 11:6, to Adonai unless I live in faith responses. Because that is the only way that He's going to be experientially Master in my life. I always yield in my entirety to Adonai. We have to get into our understanding and our orientation what exactly it means that He is the Sovereign King. Because in our humanity, in our natural thinking, this is something very difficult to get our minds wrapped around. But there is one passage, I think, that gives us a glimpse, just a tiny glimpse, not of the magnitude, but of the fact that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 4. This is a description of where Adonai is right now. Because He is God and He is now. He is present. He's not future and He's not theoretical. He is present. And this is where Adonai can be found. In verse 2, the Word of God says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. and one sat on the throne. That was, that one was Adonai. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about, a full circle rainbow, round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. In his appearance, Adonai is like a jasper and a sardine stone. And he sits on a throne from which lightning emanates. This is not a mild thing. This is actually a very fearsome thing. This is something that I wouldn't want to be careless with. Just like if there's a downed power line, you don't want to touch it. If people see a downed power line in the street, they get away from it as fast as they can and they call the repair people to take care of it as quickly as possible. But this is not a power line. This is Adonai's throne, the same power that created the universe simply with a word. That means with no effort whatsoever, the universe was created. He simply said, let there be, and there was. This took no effort at all. This was not even tapping into God's power. The power of God is so great that just from the throne where He is seated, the, if you will, the overflow of power is like lightning bursting forth. Or lightning is one of the most powerful sources of energy that we have in nature. And yet, this is constantly going on from the throne of God just because He's seated there. This is what I mean when I'm saying He is a sovereign, majestic, and powerful King. And all authority belongs to Him. This is Adonai. Satan has to flee in the presence of Adonai. In the presence of Adonai, you hope you don't perish. This is why he said, woe unto me, I'm a man undone. I saw God and lived. Why? Because he knew very well that you can't look upon Adonai. You can't stand in his presence. This is why we have to have a glorified body in heaven. This is why our fleshly, earthly body will not ever be allowable or acceptable, not because of its corruption, but because of its insufficiency. This is why when Jesus comes down, just the foot of Adonai touching the Mount of Olives will split the mount in half. And that's not his anger, that's his rescue. This is why when he speaks the word during the Battle of Armageddon, in which Israel is almost annihilated, just by speaking the word, his very presence, him breathing out a single word, and their bodies will burst. So we need a glorified body in heaven, because otherwise we could never stand in the presence of Adonai. Adonai is to be feared. Adonai is to be revered. And Adonai is never taken lightly. See, when we say master, we have this human conceptualization. But it's nowhere even approaching sufficiency to describe the glory and the awesomeness of Adonai. He's an extremely powerful God. I'm always amazed at the ease of Genesis 1. I can't create dust. I can't even pick up just so much of it. But Adonai created everything with ease. It meant nothing to him. When at the end of the millennial reign, heaven and earth will pass away, it'll be nothing to Adonai. He won't even have to snap a finger. He'll just think the thought and it will vanish. And when he creates a new heaven and a new earth, it will simply be nothing more than a thought. And there it will be. The power of Adonai, the authority, is inconceivable to the human mind. Even among the angels, there is not free, completely free access to Adonai. To the other representations of God, perhaps, but not to His power. And this is why you have a hierarchy in heaven, because Adonai rules on the throne. It's not simply for the order, but the authority itself establishes order just by its presence. Adonai is on the throne. As a believer, I tremble. And anybody who has any understanding of what Adonai is trembles. This is why he said, don't fear the one who can destroy the body. Fear the one who can destroy the body and cast it into hell. Satan can't do that. No angel can do that. But Adonai can. And to him, it's nothing. The breath of Adonai is capable of making something alive. We're not dealing with trivialities here. This is why the Word of God says it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. And I understand theologically that that says reverence. But let's get down to practical terms. What do you reverence? You reverence what you fear. You always reverence what you fear. It's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because He's Adonai. As a believer, I'm extremely careful with Adonai. In Deuteronomy 3:24, the Word of God says, O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Thy servant Thy greatness and Thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to Thy works and according to Thy might? Adonai has no equal. As a matter of fact, the closest thing that there is to an equal, which would probably be one of the archangels, I don't know, is not even remotely approaching any form of equality with Adonai. I don't think we often get this as believers, that Adonai, the authority, the majesty, the power, the might of Adonai is not something that we have the physical capability of comprehending. of the trillions of cells, connections that take place in the brain, it has no ability to even approach comprehending Adonai. This is why God is such a mystery to us. Because He is Adonai. In Psalm 86:15, and this is something that I can't wrap my mind around. Why is this the case? But it just is. Adonai is not the kind of a king that the world would ever have. The kings of the world are kings that have subjects who serve them. And the good kings will protect the subjects that serve them. And when a war breaks out or something like that, the subjects fight and die for the king. But that's not Adonai. See, Adonai doesn't need anyone to fight and die for him. But he does fight and die for us. And this is the mind-numbing thing about the splendor and the glory of God. And if you think about it at any length whatsoever, you will see that this is in fact an element, a part of the power and the majesty and the might of God. That He wouldn't ask us to die for Him. That He would die for us. That is only the thought of a mighty king. Not of a weak one. But of a mighty one. That even death itself has no effect on Adonai. Psalm says, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Of all the things that God could have chosen to be, and He could have chosen to be anything, He is Adonai. He chose to be that. What is in the heart of Adonai? We think of authority, and we think of power, we think of might, and we think of conquest. We think of subjugation. But not in the heart of Adonai. This mighty, majestic king doesn't think like that. This one is full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering. And He's plenteous in mercy and truth. And He wants us to know it. And the only time that Adonai actually is angry is when we overlook Psalm 86:15. This is what happened in Luke 19:22 in the parable of the master who gave the talents to his servants and asked them to trade. And the one servant hid his talent and gave it back to the master. And it says there, "And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth I will judge thee." This is the master speaking to the servant, "Thou wicked servant." And be careful about this original language. The original language says, "You knew, did you, that I was an austere man?" Because that servant accused him, the verse prior, of being an austere man. He says, "You knew I was an austere man, did you?" He's not saying he is. He's saying he isn't. But not just "I'm not" in a defensive way, in an indignant way. "You knew, did you, that I was an austere man, that I took out where I did not lay down and reap where I did not sow?" You see, Adonai is very different than a worldly king or a worldly master. Adonai, in Hebrews 4:16, is the God that sits on a throne of grace. You see, as fearsome as the throne of God is, it is, after all, surrounded with an emerald rainbow. And that refers to grace. Green is the color of grace in the Bible. And so the entire throne of God, as powerful, majestic, and awesome as it is encircled in grace, encompassed in it. Because grace is the authority and the authoritative rule of action of God's kingdom. His throne is established in grace. This is a very strange king. He's difficult to understand because he is not like a man. His entire premise is grace. And when we come to that throne of grace, we find mercy and help. This is what is given to us at that throne. Adonai commands mercy and help for the believer. What kind of a God is this? What kind of a king? In John 15:16, Adonai has chosen you, and he's ordained you to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Adonai has chosen you. And this is why Adonai says in verse 5 there of John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. How is it that Adonai establishes this fruit? I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And then in John 12:24, he says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And then back in John 15 again in verses 7 and 8, abide in me. If you abide in me, again, a third class conditional clause. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. In this way, you are the disciples of Adonai. That his word abides in you, and you abide in him. But if his word abides in you, then it takes your life out. Because another name for Adonai is Word of God. And so, if Word of God, the thoughts of Adonai, abide in you, then you cannot survive there. Why? Because no flesh can stand before God. And so, His words abide in me, and it produces a cross in my life. Because natural life has no place with Adonai. But a resurrection life has everything with Adonai. Because when I live in resurrection life, I live with Adonai living in me, in Galatians 2:20. And it's the life of Adonai. It's that all power, exousia. It's an effectual power that is manifested as a response to faith. And this is Adonai. And this is why, going back to 2 Samuel 7, it's His word and His promises and His goodness. What do I have faith in? I have faith in His character and I have faith in His promises. So it's His word and His promises and His goodness, and I am established in grace. Because this is how Adonai operates. He operates by the word, by promises, and by grace. And this is exactly what God protects. That's why in Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Who are you to judge another man's servant?" Don't judge another man's servant. In verse 4, do you despise the goodness of God, the grace of God? Do you esteem that lightly? It is the grace, it is the operational premise, it is the government of Adonai. It is the government, it is the functional method, the MO, if you will, of the King for whom creation of the entire universe was effortless. It was nothing. No sweat at all. And yet He is gracious. And His government is grace. This is why a believer must never touch another believer. Because His government is grace. In Romans 9:15, Adonai says, "I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy." Simple as that. "And I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion." End of sentence. But God, don't you? "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I am Adonai." Nobody can stand in the face of that. It is Adonai who commands my sins to be removed. It is Adonai who has decreed that the blood would be shed. It is Adonai who says, "I forgive and I forget your iniquities." It is Adonai. It's a fearsome thing. When Uzzah touched the ark, he was touching the ark of Adonai. Adonai did not want his presence to be misunderstood and not revered. And so he instantly kills Uzzah. Uzzah's motives were good, but Uzzah was familiar with Adonai. And so Uzzah could not be before God. He couldn't stand. The power of Adonai is such that he had to cover Moses in the cleft of a rock and put his hand over that cleft so that it wouldn't kill him to look at Adonai. When Moses stood in the representation of Adonai before the burning bush, he glowed. And he had to put a veil over his face when he came down from the mountain because the glow was so powerful and bright. And Moses was simply another man, not looking Adonai face to face, but simply standing in Adonai's presence. And he glowed. This is an awesome God. Do we understand the majesty, the authority, the glory of God? He is a king, but not just a king. He is a king of kings, not among kings, but of kings. We have to learn how to revere Adonai. In James 4:12, there is one lawgiver, that is Adonai, who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you that judges another? Why did he say that? Because Adonai reserves that exclusively. And the one that he reserves it for exclusively is not me, it's his son. He judged his son, and that's all the judgment he was interested in. And so I cannot stand before Adonai and point a finger. I cannot stand in Adonai and look at someone with suspicion. I cannot stand in front of Adonai and gossip. I cannot stand in front of Adonai and be negative towards someone. I cannot stand before Adonai and judge. Why? Because that is exclusive. And Adonai is extremely protective. And he says, who are you that judges another? Are you Adonai? This is why in Romans 14:4 he says, unto his own master he stands or falls, and he will be held up, because Adonai is able to make him stand. It's no trouble for Adonai at all. We have to be careful with Adonai. Promises are from Adonai. Prayer is to Adonai. Grace is of Adonai. We stand on the authority of the promises of God. Not just on the promise itself as in a wish or a hopeful thought, but on the authority of the promise, because Adonai gives the promise. And so a promise from God has the full and complete authority of Adonai, the same authority and power that found the universe an effortless endeavor. We say that, but do we understand it? Do we even scratch the surface of understanding that? I like that photograph that was taken by that spacecraft called Pale Blue Dot. It's from 4 billion miles away, next door. It's nothing. It's three doors down. That's all it is. It's three doors down. Have you gone on your street? Could you see three doors down? How long would it take to get three doors down from your house? That was three doors down. Still well within our solar system, which we still just merely measure in miles. I drive miles a day. That's how we measure the distance to Saturn. And yet you can barely see this planet. It's a pinprick. It's a speck, not even a speck. And that's just the solar system. That's just this galaxy, and the universe is composed of countless galaxies, each of them with hundreds of millions of stars for the most part. And that was effortless. See, we have a very majestic, powerful king. And he is the master. Never confuse that. Never think that something or someone else, including yourself, is the master in your life. Adonai is the master. And he will not allow us to confuse that. In Isaiah 45 and verse 11, there's another mystery of Adonai. Thus saith the Lord, Adonai, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. The confidence is astonishing. Says, ask me the things to come, and concerning the work of my hands, command me, says Adonai. Adonai wants us to ask Him. That I can't grasp. Adonai wants us to ask Him. Adonai is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Adonai is the strength and the refuge. Adonai is the hiding place. What a powerful hiding place it is. Do you get why the Word of God says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world? It's because Adonai is in you. And yet we're not consumed because of His goodness. It's Adonai. If I have a prayer, I have a full expectation of an answer. Why? Because Adonai said, command the work of my hand. That's why. If I have a promise, I have no doubt whatsoever about its fulfillment. Why? Because Adonai gives promises. If the Bible says something, I have no doubt whatsoever about its veracity. Why? Because Adonai gave His word. And Adonai says, command the work of my hand. Adonai wants to answer my prayers. That blows my mind. This majestic King is intensely occupied with us. In Psalm 30 and verse 8, the Word of God says, I cried unto Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. He's talking about Adonai. I cried unto You, majestic King, and unto You I made my supplication. And the majestic King is so concerned with that supplication that we make that in Revelation 5:8 it's brought to Him in golden vials. And that supplication is an aroma. He inhales the prayers. And in Revelation 8:6 He inhales them with incense. And He responds to the aroma of the prayer. In Psalm 40 verse 17, the Lord thinks upon me. He says, I am poor and I am needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. And He is my help and my deliverer. It's from Adonai. I'm absolutely mind blown over the fact that Adonai would be like this. It is so different than anything in the world. But then He is not of the world. He's just its creator. He's so different than the world or the religious system portrays Him. Because they don't know Him. That He thinks upon me. He meditates on me. He looks to answer my prayer. If I have a prayer, He doesn't just want to hear it. He wants it intermingled with His own breath. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 8, the Lord, Adonai, shall command a blessing upon thee. What? Adonai makes a command. He is a king. That's what kings do. And the command is to bless. That's it right there. The command is to bless. So when I come to Adonai, I don't come with an expectation of anything other than being blessed by Adonai. Why? Because Adonai, for some unspeakable reason, actually loves us. Go figure. but he does. What we know about ourselves, we can't even love ourselves. Yet Adonai knows so much more about me than I ever will, and he still loves me. This is a confident king. In closing, Adonai does not ask my opinions. He'll be incredibly merciful toward me. He'll be profoundly kind. But he's not concerned with my opinion. And if I choose with my volition that Adonai gave me to not go in his route, he will allow it. And he will wait to be gracious unto me. Why is he able to wait? And why does he allow it? Because he knows the power and the authority of the throne of grace. He knows what it can do in a person's life to live in grace. And even if I willfully choose against him, Adonai will find me with mercy. And he'll draw me back with loving kindness. And he will rebuild me every single time. He is a supremely confident God. But in this life of the throne of grace, on which sits Adonai, there's one thing. He said in John 21:18, when you were young, that is to say immature, you girded yourself and you went where you would. But when you grow up, when you become mature with Adonai, another will gird you and he will carry you. He won't ask you to do it on your own, but he will carry you where you would not necessarily go. You see, he is a merciful God, but he is still a majestic king. And make no doubt about it, he is the master. And that he doesn't share with anyone. Yeah, he wants me to command the works of his hand. Yeah, he wants me to come boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah, he wants me to cast all my burdens upon him and all my cares. Yeah, if I'm weary and heavy laden, he wants me to come to him. Absolutely. But not for one moment will he yield being the king and the master. And if I have a life with Adonai, I don't negotiate. I respond. That's it right there. You never negotiate with Adonai. You simply say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your will, not mine, be done. Yes, Lord." Because he is Adonai. And all the splendor of what it means to be Adonai. Amen.